Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
A big, well, let's see. Today is a big day for a couple of reasons. One, we have a big anniversary in the NFL.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The other thing is something happened tonight that you don't get all that often. Tonight in the NBA, the Chicago Bulls, fresh off their victory over the New York Knicks, the suddenly skidding New York Knicks, are home for a game against the Pacers. And I say game loosely because the Bulls get blown out 109-77. So they
really
lose
great year and then a no show tonight.
Yeah,
for sure.
But it happens. You know, okay. But, you know,
of
you're
course.
12-6. You're still feeling good if you're the Bulls. But, you know, Bulls fans are mad, right? And Chicago fans are mad. You don't want to be so mad at the Bulls because they're still having a really good year. So it's like, who can we take out our frustrations on because we're upset that we paid this money to come to a Bulls game and they lost? I know what we'll do, and this was the chant at the United Center. Fire Nagy all the way through the United Center.
Doesn't get any clearer than that either, though,
no.
Right?
No, you can't really make that up and say, what are they saying? They're saying, hire Shaggy. That's what they want. They want Shaggy to be hired by the team to do something. For him to walk around and say it wasn't me.
Isn't that what Nagy does in every press conference? Wasn't me.
Not my fault. Listen, not my fault. I wasn't around the team this week, all right? So don't blame me.
No, that was the one week they played well. What are you talking about?
Oh, that's true. That was Justin Fields at his best when Matt Nagy missed the game. Look, this is a really big game yesterday. It looked like the Bears were going to win. Eddie Dalton comes off the bench, and then the Bears give up an incredible final two-minute drive to Huntley, and everybody's going, you mean the dog from Curious George? No, the backup to Lamar Jackson, who didn't play at all yesterday. And suddenly what looked like was going to be a great moment for the Bears, right? It looked, hey, here they are. They're going to win this game. They're going to break this losing streak. It turns into a heartbreaking defeat. They had the longest losing streak in the NFL. It does not belong to the Jets. It belongs to the Chicago Bears. And look, it's a fait accompli that Matt Nagy is going to be let go at the end of this year, right? It's going to happen. Sometimes so much bad happens and you get so far down a road, there's just no way you can continue on with it next year. So it's going to happen. So it's going to happen for the Bears. It's just, boy, they really didn't recognize the window of, hey, do we really think that we have a great head coach in Matt Nagy? I mean, do we really think he's great, or is he just kind of okay at best? And that's kind of what it's been for the Bears. They've been okay at best in the Matt Nagy era. So, yeah, you have to kind of recognize that and decide to know when to move on, because they say, all right, let's try one more. Like, they tried one extra year for Mitchell Trubisky. It didn't work. One more year with Matt Nagy. Okay, you got to learn your lesson and go, okay, the Bill Belichick way of let's move on a year earlier instead of a year later because it gets us going to what's next for us. That's kind of what Chicago's got to subscribe to, because, look, the last couple of years, they could have been out and into their next incarnation, invention of the team, and maybe Justin Fields is better off right now with a better coach offensively that's going to be able to put in a game plan for him. Or, you know, I don't know, you draft the guy in the first round, you craft the offense around him because clearly he's your quarterback of the future. I don't know, something crazy like that, you know, another coach might have done to help things going on in Chicago.
Well, you know, my argument with all of that is that you've been a playoff team and you look at the NFC and the opportunity that was there, assuming the defense was healthy, and they've been anything but. Between Hicks and now Khalil Mack done for the year, you're signing Bruce Irvin, really? Trying to turn back the clock and think
Dude,
he's coming through the portal?
That would have been great, man. That would have been
no,
great.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
But that's the point, right, is you're making some of these personnel moves. But, you know, I heard was, well, you got to give it to Matt Nagy. He was a playoff coach 2 out of 3 years. Like, okay, yet you were very quick to point out his quarterback was terrible. So what is it? Like, one goes with the other. And then you have this stat. He's coached 20 games without Mitchell Trubisky, and this isn't a Mitchell Trubisky stand section here, but it's to give a little bit of clarity of what's going on. Matt Nagy's 6-14 in those starts. Two of those wins against the Lions, your opponent on Thursday. Okay, so kind of put things in perspective in that regard. But when you're looking at this squad as it's built, you know, I thought with Andy Dalton, a defense that looked like it had some teeth to it coming into the season, David Montgomery, maybe more Darnell Mooney, who's become pretty solid. You'd see more Cole Kmet. We didn't see that until, well, the second half of the season. Again, it seems Nagy forgot to use him in his blueprint, as it were. Allen Robinson has disappeared. Just go all through. And the offensive line is trash. And we can talk about that. We knew that coming into the season, right? We talked about it. Top three, top five offensive lines. We like to rank a lot of stuff. We did the more obscure. Let's talk about offensive lines that are going to be terrible. And they were there right front and center. They got a couple of young pieces that eventually might be solid. But in the interim, it's a, all right, if you know this is a huge deficiency, what do? You got to change your offense. Whether it's for Andy Dalton those first couple games, or certainly once Justin Fields come in and you know what his skill set is, and not to leave him sitting between the tackles as a sitting duck. They didn't do that. Start to develop a little bit, but he's still reticent to get rid of the ball. He won't push it because he's afraid that he's going to make a mistake. And instead, what's he doing? He's getting absolutely clobbered time and time again. You know, decision-making and getting the ball out is just not happening. So, and now he's probably going to miss Thursday, and it's going to be the Andy Dalton show and another opportunity. And meanwhile, Bears fans, you know, they're tired of buying books about 1985, Smith. Right? It's just like you with your Jets. Nobody wants to hear Joe Namath stories again.
Hey, coming up next year.
Repurposed like a Garth Brooks album for the 47th time.
Hey, this is Afternoon Drive here in Chicago. Coming up next, we got yet another author who's got an in-depth look at the 85 Bears, who's going to stop by and tell us stories that we've heard thousands and thousands of times, except this time from different perspectives, that Mike Ditka maybe didn't chew bubble gum, that he was the first guy to chew bubble mint gum on the sideline. So that's going to be a big interview we got coming up for you. Yeah, no,
you chuckle about that, man. There's still, you go into any bookstore in Chicago, there is a giant wall of, hey, here's your favorite, you know, things about Chicago books, right? Hey, you know, here's a history lesson on, you know, the Willis Tower, you know, former Sears Tower. Here's Water Tower Place. Hey, here's the Gold Coast. Here's this. And by the way, there's six more books on the Bears, including the guys, the untold stories. You know why they're untold? Because that guy hasn't had his book published yet. You know, a guy that played three snaps in week three of the preseason. It's the way it works. But for Matt Nagy, look, the chickens have come home to roost. Right? You've had bad decision making. You can just check the tape here. Go through all the podcasts every Monday or Friday or live in a living color, listening to me die a little bit with each play call as to where Matt Nagy is and Ryan Pace in terms of my evaluations for years. They have not changed. And it's overdue. But the Bears being who they are, he'll finish the year. And there's still reports that, you know, before the season, when they look at their biographies, you knew what their contract situations were, both he and Ryan Pace. That got removed, those final lines. And it's believed they both got contract extensions for 2022. And knowing the Bears, that would mean Matt Nagy will be back.
Hey, we got a guest on the line right now who, he was an usher at Soldier Field from 1967 through 1989. He's just written the book on the 85 Bears, and with the stunning admission that in one game, Ryne Sandberg sat in a seat that was near where he was ushering. Let's go to him right now so we can tell that never-before-heard story. No, dude, look, I hear you.
You got how Ryne times, Sandberg in.
How many
you
times?
You want a tough read? Go read his autobiography.
How many times do I have to see an embarrassing story about the Mets yet here? Coming up, hey, one year in Queens. We're going to go back and look again at the 86 Mets. It's like, okay, I'm the first guy to tell you, we don't need anything more about the 86 Mets. We don't need anything more. But when that's what you have and you're going back, that's all you have for your glory is that.
That's all you
and
got.
You're still looking and looking and looking. That's how it goes, man. It's difficult.
Yeah, watching some of these offensive sets with Justin Fields, they long for the days of Jay Cutler. And Mitchell Trubisky, I can tell you that. And it's not all on the kid, right? And I don't want anybody to misconstrue that because it becomes an indictment. Look, you're not giving him a chance. Like, no, I think there's some talent. I don't know that this is the crew and the scheme or any of that to maximize it by any stretch of the imagination. And anybody that's watched more than a quarter of this team with Fields or pick any quarterback that's taken a snap in the Matt Nagy era, that this is where you're going to go play winning football. No, it's ugly.
We got a guest right now who is the maitre d' at a restaurant that Buddy Ryan ate at for six consecutive weeks during their big winning streak in 1985. And he's here with the bombshell that Buddy Ryan asked for pepper on four of those six consecutive visits. He's going to tell that never before told story now to you here on the show. Welcome in.
That's it. I'm going to make the exhaustive list. Actually, no, I don't have time for that. The number of books, pamphlets, you know, audio tapes that have been put out. Hey, here's another exclusive interview. 30 years later, what do you remember?
Another very special guest who was at the Rex Grossman New Year's Eve party that really cost him the final week of the regular season back in our Super Bowl year of 2008. So we got that coming up here.
The Super Bowl quarterback, Rex Grossman. You can never take that away from him. And it's all overshadowed, right? Because Peyton Manning wasn't good that day, but he won. Yeah. Prince.
Well, and you know
played guitar for you.
You know what tomorrow's going to be on shows in Chicago. It's going to be, hey, coming up right now, we got a couple of people who were at the Bulls game last night who are part of the throng of chants who were fans who were chanting "Fire Nagy." We're going to hear why they were chanting that. Let's bring them on right now. Debbie and Bruce, you're on the show. Why were you chanting "Fire Nagy"? Because that guy's got to go. He stinks. Whoa, I haven't heard that before. That's a hot take.
You know, I'm gonna try to text my brother, see if I can get a log into their Comcast or whatever cable system so I can see the local news. Because I guarantee you, there are a few of those interviews going on the local news tonight. That's right. Lead story, it'll be the video that got out, and then it'll be live on the scene just outside the Michael Jordan statue.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So the Buccaneers, look, they win and they're 7-3 and they're still at the top of what you would call the best teams in the NFL. And we'll have more on them coming up in a few minutes. But look, the Giants lose tonight and Daniel Jones, at this point, you understand that the Giants are going to move on from him. All right, tonight he was 167 yards through the air, did throw a touchdown, did throw two bad picks, got sacked a couple of times late when the Giants were in their last gasp drive. And clearly at this point, this is you're nearing the end of his third season in the National Football League. And he has not shown that I can be a franchise quarterback. His best year was as a rookie when he threw 24 touchdowns. He threw 11 touchdowns last year. He's thrown 8 touchdowns this year. Everything is moving down. His yardage, his quarterback rating. He's not someone that is showing enough where you can say, all right, let's go in on him next year and build a team around him. You can't, because he's just a guy. And that's something that has not yet manifested itself on the NFL season, but it's going to, because the Giants, look, they're going to be wholesale changes after this year in New York. There's going to be a new head coach. There's probably going to be a new GM, and because everything they've done the last few years is not working. They've been terrible since 2016, right? So much we got, oh, Saquon Barkley's going to be great. Saquon Barkley is just a guy. He got hurt. He's just a guy. Daniel Jones, just a guy. Your two big linchpins are just players. So they're going to just clear everything out in the offseason. So there's going to be a new head coach, new everything. And New York Giants is going to be a destination. And it's going to get a big head coach. They're going to get a big GM. And they're going to go get a big quarterback. They're not going to try to draft somebody because there's not enough where with the early picks they have, we can move up and get the number one overall pick and take who exactly. You don't have that big end-all, be-all person. There's no Trevor Lawrence. And after going down the road of trying to develop Daniel Jones for 3 years and it not working, the fan base and the team isn't going to have patience for that. They're going to go big game hunting in the offseason, and a big-time quarterback they are going to snare. At the
top, are you trying to get Russell Wilson over there again?
I'm telling you, man, at the top of the list is going to be Russell Wilson. Aaron Rodgers could get involved, too, depending on how sideways things go with the Packers over the course of the next few months. But Russell Wilson, clearly it's not working in Seattle. And he came back this year because, all right, I want to give it one more chance and see. Things started out well. He got hurt. The Seahawks couldn't win. He's come back. The Seahawks still can't win. He's just got that grass is greener itch in him. That as much as, oh, I want to stay, you can tell by his body language what he has said in the past year about moving on and not being respected, because he knows wherever I go, they're going to listen to me, because they just don't listen to me here because they want to listen to Pete. And John Schneider wants to listen to Pete. And so I'm never going to be that, even though Pete without me can't win. And they understand that, but Pete Carroll's got his contract extension. Unless he walks away, Russell Wilson's going to want to go someplace else where he can be that guy. Everybody sees what Tom Brady did 2 years ago, Mike, and that's a really big thing, is that they saw Tom Brady say, I am sick of you not listening to me here in New England. I'm going to go leave and find the last few years of my career are going to be mainly enjoyable someplace else. And what happened? Brady goes to Tampa. Bruce Arians is a player's coach. Brady is in loving life. Every 5 minutes, he's saying something different, giving out his opinions, which we never heard for the 15 years he was in New England. It's a new life for him. Aaron Rodgers saw that and said, maybe I can get to a new place and they'll listen to me. I don't have to worry about guys like Gutekunst and the front office really just making all the calls. And Russell Wilson sees the same thing. Maybe I don't need to be here. I can be someplace else. The Giants can easily overnight become a destination. And it's going to be that way in the offseason. And it could be Russell Wilson. It might be somebody else. But he'd be the guy at the top of the list. There were rumors he could go there a few years ago. But look, Wilson's a young 34. He's someone that's got a few years left. He's got at least 5 or 6 years left, as long as he can stay healthy, because he's that kind of quarterback that he's not going to suddenly fall off the cliff. So he's going to be the most intriguing guy, and he's a guy that is going to be the first guy that Giants fans and the new Giants administration wants. There will be other players available, but he will be at the top of that list. They're going to remake this team. He's going to be there. It's going to be big. You know, look, after Michigan gets blown out on Saturday 62-3 against Ohio State, Harbaugh is going to say, okay, I've gone as far as I could. Maybe it's Jim Harbaugh. It's somebody big. It's a big splash. It's New York, and they have had the last few years of going small. We're going to draft a quarterback out of Duke. We're going to bring in a head coach who was a special teams coordinator with the Patriots. No, now they're going to go big. It's going to be big names. Trust me, the Giants hold the key to the offseason.
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, just go back to the Seattle Seahawks for the moment. Firing Pete Carroll should be priority number one at this point. He seems disengaged. That press conference nonsense of Sunday. What are we doing? You're not new to this. Yeah, losing and being embarrassed week in, week out. Yeah, okay, maybe you haven't experienced that, but you're a grown-ass man. Stay in front of the microphone. Finish what you need to say. Come up with a coherent answer for why you've not established a run game, why the offensive line is sieve-like, and why you only have two playmakers who you can't seem to get the ball enough. It's been a train wreck all year long. I'd do everything I could, move heaven and earth, to make sure that Russell Wilson finishes his career as a member of the Seahawks, but that's just me. As for the Giants, yeah. I mean, we watched this game tonight, and the two interceptions for Daniel Jones, I probably held my hands up like I was in the middle of, like, I don't know, meditation or some kind of gravity pulling. It's like, this is how I'm going to, you know, get my muscles spurred on, is just holding out my arms for 5 minutes, because I'll be looking, what have I seen? Little screen pass that really was just confusing as all can be. And the other, almost like he was playing dodgeball looking for Levante David. Ah, you're out. Okay, but the other guy caught the ball, so now you are too. But that's where you're at. And not to make excuses for him. Like, there are moments that he looks good, right? Move on the move, makes plays with his legs. And you sit there and you go back to what Judge and Gettleman and the brass there have built. And they invested a lot of money, and Barkley is, look, we've talked about this for years. I'm a believer, if that's your guy, you go get your guy and let the chips fall where they may. Likewise, you know, with a quarterback, if you decide you see something that maybe the rest of the world doesn't, right? Because it's all about zagging when everybody's zigging. That's how you win at anything. you're doing in this world, right? Yes, you can follow some of the stalwarts and the folks that have had success, but that you're still going to have to find and fill in the blanks. See, I do this after walking around, you know, all the Jurassic Parks ride. Because you know what you do? You get some frog DNA and away you go. But the reality is that you've got a team where you did make a lot of bets on guys that were injured. Well, we're going to get the best of Kenny Golladay. You heard his name mentioned more than once or twice other than, you know, they signed Kenny Golladay to this deal.
Don't forget, Kenny Golladay, when he gets playing, boy, he might be really good. Boy, don't forget.
Right, after he played 5 games last year. Right, and then he comes in and he's been hurt or invisible all year long. You've got an offensive line that struggles. Obviously, Jones' decision-making needs to be better than what it is, but you know, Kadarius Toney, he's been hurt a good chunk of the year. You expected him to be a big playmaker. Darius Slayton was hurt. He missed a chunk of time. So you haven't exactly been running. Not that any NFL team has, but it's the, all right, you also built a really shoddy, you know, hut around him to try to make this thing work. And it gets blown over time and time again. So, but they have to make the decision. I didn't see anything. I'm trying to clickety clack, clack, clack. Find out. It's like, all right, he's got one more year on his deal, right? That's it. And then you probably move on. And you may decide to do that for some quarterback desperate team this offseason.
Look, if I thought the Giants could remake themselves in an offseason, all right, they might not, but it's just been too much and they've been too bad for too long. I can't believe that this has been accepted. There's certain franchises where it's like, no. We suck for 1 year. That's not the case the next year. And that's usually the case with the Giants. The Giants are bad. No, we're fixing that in a year, right? When the Steelers have that one down year, no, we're fixing it. And we're back next year.
You know, when he goes 8-8, yeah.
Yeah, most teams do. The Giants, it's baffling that they have stunk for this long. And they've stuck with this plan that is just not working. And it's not getting better. And it's not getting to the point where, okay, I could see it turning the corner. And so when that's your outcome, there's only one way to combat that, and that is we are cleaning house, and they're going to do it, right? Every big name is going to be on the table. The Giants are such a big drawing card that, hey, if we have to go in and everything is new, and that's going to be the big thing. Because if you come into a situation where, okay, like who's going to really want to go be the quarterback in Green Bay to follow Aaron Rodgers? Nobody, right? No one wants to do that. No one wants to be the quarterback to follow Russell Wilson in Seattle because, number one, you're following in a legend shoes, and number two, you know that you're going to go in and have a little to no impact because it's going to be the head coach, the GM, everybody else that's calling all the shots. So that's a difficult situation to walk into. When you're walking into everything being new, the excitement about starting over and here's what we've done, and hey, we're going to take our nice pieces that we have from the year before and push them over to next year. Maybe Kadarius Toney's going to be a star. Certainly in limited time, he has shown that he can be a pretty decent player. He may be the best quarterback on the roster too. But it's not very difficult to remake a team in a year when you are hitting the big positions like they are. Boom, GM, head coach, quarterback. That's what they're going to do. Right. And that's an enviable situation to go into. Right. I'll put it to you this way. If you when I was at ESPN, and I was a production assistant there, and I was an associate producer there before I was became a talent. And I worked behind the scenes, and it was great. It was fun. I was in production, and it was so good. But there were so many people, there were so many cooks, there were so many people that were in charge of your career and so many layers between you and the top that it was hard to get your voice heard at times. And it was, you know, gets frustrating for people. I understand that because ESPN's this big machine. So then Fox starts in there was a summer of 1996. That's when Fox Sports 1 started, which is, you know, back then it was Fox Sports Net, and which has morphed into Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2. And so many people, I was one of them, wanted to go to Fox, right? They were starting off in Los Angeles. It was a new place to go live in. Who wouldn't want to go live in LA for a while? It was a chance to go in at the same level as everybody else and make your mark on the organization and be able to be someone who stands out, and maybe you're moving up the ladder a little bit more. It's just an enviable situation to go into. And so many people decided, yeah, I want to apply, I want to go there. And it was the best move I ever made. At that point, point in my life. I wanted to go do something, and I went, and it was great. And here I am 25 years later, still in Los Angeles and, you know, talking to you every night on the air. So my life has turned out pretty well. But that situation when you have a blank canvas in front of you, that's really enviable. When I can go in and I can not just be someone that's got to feel my way around the organization, I can be the organization. Russell Wilson can walk into New York and go, hey, guys, this is what I think. This is what we're going to do. And a seasoned head coach like Jim Harbaugh is going to listen to that quarterback. Okay, I want this to work and let's do this. And I'm going to say that. It's just a better thing when you are making all those changes at once, and that's what the Giants are going to do. And with the power of New York, I mean the good New York behind them, not the Jets, you're going to play for the Giants, which actually has a legacy of winning. And the bar is set so low because the Giants have been so bad for so long. All you have to do is stay in the playoff hunt the first couple of years, and fans are going to go, thank you. Oh, my God, I don't want to see any more New York Post headlines about how bad the Jets are. Oh, thank goodness. It's going to be that easy in New York. That's why everything this offseason, what the Giants do, that's going to be the domino effect.
But I still think, though, that as you're looking at the roster, yeah, you can change out some of the cooks, but you still got to figure out your 53-man roster, right? If I read to you right now, and obviously Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers are a different piece of this because, well, they're tradable assets. If you just look at guys that are free agents, I mean, one of the top names is going to be your guy, Mike White.
Mm-hmm.
Mitchell Trubisky.
My God. Can you imagine if Mike White is a free agent, the Giants sign him to be their starter, and he's great for a decade?
I'm just saying, legitimately, it's not like you've got a list of heavyweights that suddenly just show up and poof, ta-da, we've got our guy. Like, you're going to have to move heaven and earth and make a lot of promises to get one of those big boys. And once again, Aaron Rodgers, I would love to see the contract. Everybody keeps telling me, all he's got to say is he's unhappy, and they'll have to work to trade him. It's like, they could lied through their teeth that entire time, right? Just like he allegedly wasn't ever showing up again based on some of the insider reports. Ta-da, there he is. All right, we've reworked some things, and here I am. And I brought Randall Cobb with me. So, I mean, things change very quickly. But, you know, trying to remake all of this, it's like when you fire a head coach, you better have someone that you've already communicated with that really wants the job and you think can do it. Otherwise, you're now in a vast wasteland. And certainly we know at the quarterback position, you don't get that right, it doesn't work, right? And the whole squad starts to be taken down. Even when you still have a good quarterback, it can still go south quickly. And all I could read you the list of guys, according to SportTrack and all these other places that do contracts, I don't think there's a single option that you're really excited about hitting the free agency at that position. So you're going to have to make some big bets and get all buy-in. And one thing we know is even if stuff isn't working, if it's going to suddenly cost me millions of dollars, i.e. I have to pay a guy to go away, a lot of NFL owners and business people in general are going to tell you, yeah, I don't want to do that. When does it run out? So let's see how it flows from there.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Get ready, Giants. You know, maybe if Daniel Jones wasn't 0-8 on primetime games, people would be off his back a bit. But, 0-8 in primetime games, that's really not good.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now on the hotline, a guy we've been tied to for a long time. He is an insider at CBS NFL extraordinaire, friend of the show, Jason Lockenfora. Jay, happy butt fumble anniversary.
Hey, yeah, wow. I didn't realize it was, but I appreciate the sentiment. I do remember where I was when it happened.
I think we all remember where we were. It's one of those
watching
moments in history.
From the hotel room in New York on on Thanksgiving night. That was a year where I think my family was up there with me. We were staying through the weekend, and everybody was in bed, and I was in the little cot in the I don't know what you could, the foyer of the hotel room, watching on TV with no sound, and wishing I was at home where I could like DVR it back and forth. You know what I mean? Where you could like have the TiVo kind of deal and go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
It's the first time I really ever used a TiVo remote control. I grabbed it and just said, "Hey, everybody, you got to watch this."
Yeah, yeah.
And then we delayed dinner for a half hour as we
might never see something like this again.
No, I remember watching it going. As soon as it happened, I said, "That play is going to live forever. It's never going to not be something. It's going to be." And that stands right. So you said, "What's the Jets franchise in one play?" I would say, "Well, it's the butt fumble." Oh, okay, there it is. Franchise in one play.
Yeah, that was pretty much it for Rex, right? I mean, that was pretty much like, this is run its course.
Well, I do want to say before we get on to another quarterback is that I dig the fact, because I get exactly where you're coming from, because, you know, hey, you know, when the butt fumble was going on, you were in the middle of your career now and everything was great. But when it comes to family, it's, yeah, you can stay on the fold-out cot and we're all in a hotel room.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, everybody else was, they got the beds and I was on the fold-out. Yeah, even though I was the only one who worked that day. But that's exactly how it should be.
That
is my lot in life, and I am completely at peace with it, and I'm blessed and thankful that I have people to take the beds while I take the cot.
Because
without them, I'd have nothing.
It
would just be me and the dogs.
Well, that is true. That is true. So once in a while, you got to suck it up with that. Okay,
like that Saturday Night Live skit about like the dog park for dudes. Like
that's good.
That's real. Like my circle gets tighter every year.
All right.
Maybe that's just me. I don't know. Maybe I should be on a couch right now with my feet up, like talking to a therapist. But I do think there's some truth in that.
No, it happens.
Let's talk football.
Look, I get to the point where I say, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm old enough now. No, I'm not going to sleep on the floor and have other. No, I need the bed. Okay. So we're going to take that. Speaking of, you said dog. Let's go to the dog pound. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Baker Mayfield did the one thing you're not supposed to do, take on the fan base today when he was asked about the fans' reaction to him. As dinged up as he is, as difficult as the Browns' offense has in scoring points, aren't we just going to see the Browns say, hey, listen, Baker, take a seat. We can hide the injury as to why you're sitting so we can get some new energy in Case Keenum is going to be the quarterback at some point soon?
Well, look, they play at Baltimore Sunday night. I think that's going to be a tough gig for them. Not that Baltimore's a great team by any stretch, and they have serious limitations on defense. But you look at Baker physically right now, and they can't really get the ball to receivers. They're kind of living and dying with Nick Chubb. Even when they get off to fast starts, it's been rough. They had the 40-burger they hung on the Bengals in the Battle of Ohio, but in their last six games, the other five, they've been held to 17 or fewer. We'll see. I mean, then they have the bye week, and then they host the Ravens the following week, in which could be, you know, sort of a statement on their season. Like, if they get swept in those games, and Baltimore plays Cleveland in between, but again, I'm sorry, Baltimore plays Pittsburgh in between, but again, Cleveland's on the bye. You know, I don't know that they could survive being swept. And I don't think Baltimore is necessarily good enough to sweep them. But if the Rams are going to hemorrhage yards on the ground like they are right now, and they're going to have a quarterback who's limited pushing the ball downfield, and they have really suffered without Conklin at right tackle, and now they're giving up sacks at an alarming rate, none of that bodes well. So we'll see. But you shouldn't. I mean, it had been a while, like I want to say 18 months, maybe more, since Baker Mayfield had said something where you could kind of have your antennas go up, right? I mean, I think I remember the Duke Johnson stuff talking about his contract, and then he threw a trainer under the bus, and there was a lot of stuff that happened like late in the Hugh Jackson regime. But things had been pretty much on message, like on point. But I just don't know why he had to, like, especially when he didn't talk yesterday. It's like, so wait a minute. You hit the pause button because you don't want to do anything that makes the situation worse. You actually, you know, I don't think it's good to avoid the media, but I get it. But then to come back today after your wife had the Instagram thing in the interim and to take that approach, Yeah, that would give me some pause if I'm running the Cleveland Browns, but I don't know that it leads to an immediate benching.
Chaos ensues, and that's what we saw, Kansas City and Dallas. What am I supposed to take out of that game? Because Kansas City, I mean, it's not like they were pinball offense, and we talked about the defense. You know, they hadn't played anybody, that old narrative, Jason. And then they go and they keep the Dallas Cowboys to 9 points.
Well, I would say what I take from it is that experiment of putting Chris Jones out on the perimeter and having him sort of become your edge presence was ill-fated and short-lived, thankfully, for Chiefs fans. And he's back healthy, and he's absolutely wrecking things. On the inside, they've stabilized that cornerback. They've got Tyrann Mathieu playing better ball. They sort of rediscovered a little bit of a swag and a mojo, and it wasn't just the Dallas game. You can go back 4 weeks now, and they're getting more pressure. They're being playing more sound football. They're more consistent. They've stabilized, and they've been helped by a Chiefs offense that isn't necessarily swinging for the fences all the time, but is content to hold the football, content to play time of possession ball, which again limits the amount of time the defense is on the field, and has cut down on some of the turnovers. Although they're not completely out of the woods with that. But certainly it's better now than it looked, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. So Kansas City's in it. They're probably going to stay in it. If they can get Josh Gordon or any other thing going in the passing game, then I think they'll really be, you know, the team to beat. I'm not going to crown anybody in the AFC, though, because it's just it's so week to week, you know? I mean, you got 12 teams that are 500 or better, and then you got four that are absolute, you know, the dregs. And among the 12 that are 500 or better, a lot of, you know, from week to week, a lot of things can shift and change. So I think the offensive line, though, is better now than it looked 6 weeks ago as well for Kansas City. So things are certainly trending in the right direction.
Jason Lockett for our guest, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. All right, let's talk about Seattle here for a couple of seconds because it was a really bizarre scene yesterday after a loss. The offense looked lost. Pete Carroll came out, got very upset that the team is losing, left the press conference, came back. How does this end for Seattle this season? Does this end with Pete Carroll leaving? Does this end with Russell Wilson leaving? How does it end for them?
I think it ends with Russell Wilson leaving. They have struck out mightily in the first round for quite some time now. The roster isn't nearly as deep or top-heavy even as it used to be. There's issues all over the offensive line. They can't run the ball and have difficulty even just finding a running back to rely on week in, week out. And the defense is a mess. I mean, it just is. They're not a very good football team. And to lose the way they have. Last week was one thing. I thought they fought hard. I mean, going to Lambeau and Russ first game back from the finger and all that. I thought they showed better there than they did yesterday. And so it's like, well, we're in this hole, and how do we get out of it? They don't have any extra draft capital. That, you know, trade down stuff hasn't resulted in a whole lot of future picks, and the picks they've made haven't been nearly good enough. So, and they're in a pretty tough division with some aggressive teams. So I think it leads to, if we really want to, you know, if Russ isn't, if we're so bad that Russ alone isn't good for 10 wins anymore, then, and Russ isn't going to do an extension with us, and Russ has 2 years left on his deal, then maybe it's time to shop Russ.
Now, Jason, one of the best trending stories of the night makes me, I'm entertained, because it comes out of a basketball game. The Indiana Pacers absolutely demolishing the Chicago Bulls at the United Center. And the highlight of the night, Chicagoans united, fire Nagy, a day after a chance all day long at Soldier Field, fire Nagy. Bears play the Lions on Thanksgiving. Boyle versus Dalton, let's get it on. And look, the Bears have never fired a coach in season.
No.
Might they finally do something against the grain?
I don't know that they have somebody on staff who they feel like is kind of who they really want to see necessarily run the team. But this is going to be a tough game for them in a short week. And Detroit is playing with more spirit and fire right now than the Bears are. And Detroit's going – they got their tie. They're going to eventually get a win. I think it could be here. And that doesn't mean that the family there would do something even with a 9-day break before they play again. But I think there'll certainly be conversations. Because ultimately these are the people you're trying to get to pay your bills. And these are the people you're going to be trying to get, you know, 5 years from now to go out to Arlington Heights for this new thing that they're probably going to be looking to build in 2026 at the racetrack there where they bought the land. And people aren't buying it right now. That's pretty clear. I don't know where it goes in the interim, where it gets any better, and Fields being banged up is not a good look for anybody. But just check out their schedule down the stretch. There's not a whole lot of games where you feel like they're in great shape. And again, I don't really even like them in this spot Thursday. You look at what Detroit's done, how they're battling against good teams. And not to say that Chicago didn't give Baltimore a game, but I mean, Baltimore's playing with Huntley at quarterback. I think the bottom might be really about to drop out in Chicago.
Hey, Jay, lastly, you know, watching the Bucs play tonight without Antonio Brown and they get back on track against the Giants, are you believing in them a little bit more than some of the other teams now, or they still have issues that other teams do?
I've never not believed in them. I mean, you look at the institutional knowledge there and the been there, done that of the whole operation. And, I mean, who's betting against – how do you bet against Tom Brady? Like, they've had a couple of – down weeks like every team in the league, but the dude still could throw 50 touchdown passes this year. Getting Gronk back is huge. I just think it settles things down for Brady's conscience, and it makes him feel like when all else fails, I know I got a guy here who's just going to know what I'm thinking when he's thinking at the same time, and we'll street ball it up if we have to or whatever. I think they've still got some kinks to work through defensively for sure. And losing Vita Vea is never a good thing because he's a special player. But, no, I would not count the Bucs out whatsoever. A week ago I would have said I think Green Bay is the best team in the league. And then you got Aaron Rodgers saying, hey, this turf toe thing is, like, really, really bad, and I'm not going to practice again this week. And, boy, I hope it feels better after the bye, but if somebody steps on this thing again, it could really be problematic. And we know Jordan Love can't play. So, you just start looking around and what the Rams have looked like lately. And, maybe Arizona's the flavor du jour again because Kyler will be back on the other side of the bye. But, they're going into some uncharted territory there for that whole group. So, I don't know, man. Your guess is as good as anybody's.
He's on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. That is at Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports NFL Insider. Jay, as always, buddy, appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of the night, rest of the week. We'll talk to you soon. Happy Thanksgiving.
Always my pleasure, gentlemen. Happy Thanksgiving.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So Monday Night Football, we watched the Buccaneers beat the Giants 30-10, and it was a big win for Tampa, a big loss for the Giants, but not as big a loss as the anniversary we're going to celebrate now. It was 9 years ago tonight. You were probably settling in, and after finishing Thanksgiving dinner, getting ready to watch the night football game, looked like it could be pretty good. The Patriots are always really good, or Jets have been to a couple AFC championship games in a row. Oh, this is going to be pretty good. And as a result, we got this play, which will now live forever.
Tom Moore then at Indianapolis, the offensive coordinator. You got a busted play here. And then Sanchez gets hit. The ball is loose, and it's alive.
I have never seen this before in my life. Watch this. Vince Wilfork is going to throw Brandon Moore back into his quarterback. He's going to fumble the football. This is what Reggie White used to do to people, forklift them and just lift them off the ground. Mark Sanchez not expecting it, and it was the backside of Brandon Moore that knocked the ball out.
Okay. I'm going to dispel a long-term belief about this play that is simply not true. You hear the description there, and you see the play, and you think, oh, Vince Wilfork, you know, just pushed Brandon Moore, and Mark Sanchez ran into him, and it was unexpected. The ball pops out. And Stephen Gregory, pride of Curtis High School and Syracuse University, both of my alma maters, runs it back for a touchdown. Vince Wilfork did not do that. That did not happen. Mark Sanchez, our teammate here at Fox Sports Radio, why he ran into Brandon Moore, I have no idea. Watch the play. You watch the play. It's a busted play. Sanchez looking to hand off. It doesn't happen. He turns to run the football. Vince Wilfork and Brandon Moore are kind of standing each other up, right? So it's not Vince Wilfork is pushing Brandon Moore back and pushes him into a lane. Mark Sanchez simply runs and runs into Brandon Moore. He could run to the right where he would gain another yard or two before he gets tackled. But for some reason, he runs right into Brandon Moore. When Brandon Moore starts to fall down, when Vince Wilfork pushes him over, is after Sanchez already hits him. So that's when, yeah, okay, you're going to push him over there when somebody hits you from behind and you're falling backwards. That's when Vince Wilfork pushes him over. But up until that, Vince Wilfork and Brandon Moore are kind of fighting each other and they're standing up. And for some reason, Mark Sanchez, with the football, decides to run right into the back of him. He could have run into a little bit of a hole and gone in for a tackle. For some reason, he just runs right into the back of Brandon Moore. And I don't understand why. I'll never understand why. How do you just decide to run into the back of your offensive lineman, and you have the ball pretty good in your hands? You know you are running into traffic. You're not running around the outside and you're holding the ball a little bit loose. You know as a quarterback, you got to hold on to the ball. Sanchez had really big hands, right? That was the one big thing about him coming out of college. He's got big hands, hold on to the football, can throw it far. And I don't know why he did it. And I don't know. And it's a play that when I saw it, I knew they're going to play this forever. The world could end and it could be millions of years before we see life on the planet again, where you're talking about humans upright, you know, because we have to go back to being fish and then grow legs and come out of the ocean. And still somebody would find the first thing they would find would be an old videotape and they'd say, football follies. What was football? Let's put this in. Oh, but let's create a machine that we can watch this. And the first thing they will see is the butt fumble. It will live forever. Absolutely forever. But that's how the play went. Don't think it was something where this superhuman thing Vince Wilfork did. Watch the play and you will see. He's standing up and Mark Sanchez just runs into his lineman. And I really don't understand how that happened.
Well, it's stuff of legend now. What the story really was doesn't matter anymore. You can't try to rewrite this. You didn't try to go be a lecturer around the country going, you know, they really got this one wrong. And then you follow it up with like 45 minutes on taunting penalties and why they're wrong. You know, the Monday Night Football game. Pass is intercepted. He's down at the 39. Look, he and 10 of his closest buddies just ran 60 yards to the other end of the end zone to point and pose for pictures. And no taunting. That happened again tonight. Just start keeping count of the team celebrations in this nonsense. But, you know, I've now watched the play another 40 times because, you know, as soon as you bring up the Zapruder film, we got to go back and do it. And you're right. I think they're both fighting. But for Sanchez, perhaps he thought maybe he'd get a little more push out of his offensive lineman than he did. And not in the I'm going backwards style as Vince Wilfork did overpower him. Right, might not have been as dramatic, but what are you doing? You're getting in there and sell, because that audio is going to live forever. Right, people don't have always have the ability to YouTube it in the moment to get the video recollection of it. No, play that audio, and now you've got a picture in your mind of a superhuman Vince Wilfork lifting up and saying, "I own this space," and of course, then the butt fumble ensues.
You know, and,
so you
and
can't change history, buddy.
No, I can't. I can't.
You can't
go
kill
back
rock and
say,
roll. That's what Ozzy's saying.
The ball.
And
hold
you can't
ball.
Change this history.
No. I can't. And the worst part is that it's not like it was all bad play in a close game. No, the Jets got absolutely blown out. And I want to say the Patriots scored 3 touchdowns in like 21 seconds.
Oh, yeah. No, it was one of the most absurd turns of events ever.
It was just so abysmal, and that's the play. And it's 9 years old today. And it's not. And every I see it, I get it. People say, I know. When I woke up this morning, my phone goes bzz, 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 bzz. I go, how many gifs of the butt fumble am I getting now? Yeah, I get it.
It's nice that many people really identify you not only with the team, but think enough or as little about you.
It's my family checking in on me twice a year, right? Because it's twice a year. They want to know how I haven't talked to Jason in a while. And I'll get emails and texts from people that I haven't talked to in, 8-10 months, and I'll get it. It comes on Bobby Bonilla Day. They check in with me in the summer. Hey, see how you doing? And Butt Fumble Day. And it's always, hey, happy Butt Fumble Day. Oh, by the way, happy birthday. Sorry I missed it 4 days ago. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, it was great. How was your birthday? Great. Yeah, went out to dinner. But those are the 2 days a year my family checks in on me. It's like, oh, let's make sure Jason's all right. Hey, it's Bobby Bonilla Day. Hey, it's Butt Fumble Day. I mean, that's it. That's what my family knows. Now I won't hear from them again. You know, maybe a little bit of a text at Christmas with a couple of them, but not really. No. Now I'm good. Jason's end of November. I checked in. He's good. We got the winter coming up. I'll see how he's doing again next July 1st. We'll get for Bobby Bonilla Day. We'll do it then.
Have you ever given anybody the argument that your esteemed co-host has made about how the deal wasn't really as absurd for the Mets and Bobby Bonilla could have done better by taking the money up front?
Yeah, you know, the thing is, I start explaining that, and then it's like it's when you try to explain something to a child and after like 5 seconds, they just lose interest and just look someplace else and go, yeah, I don't care anymore. You know, it's actually business-wise, it was pretty good sense. What? Yes, because here's the thing is that if they paid him out for his regular contract and then the eyes just glaze over and they look away and I go, oh, God, I've just lost you. I've just lost. Like when I'm coaching the girls in soccer and I know, okay, I have like 10 seconds to get my point across before they just decide, okay, I'm looking at something else. Right. I'm done. I'm like, okay, I got 10 and I can see I got 10 seconds and this, okay. Do we have, and now they're gone. Now they're like, what's over here? I'm looking down at my shoe. I saw a bird fly. It's like, oh my God, I have so little time. That's that story. So what happened is, and then when you talk about the rates of inflation, and when you get their eyes just glaze over, they go, Bobby Bonilla, Bud Fumble, Mule.
Sounds about right. Mule. Got to get the mule in there. That's the key.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.